This hour by Frederick Remington fully cooked ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive no refrigeration 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Hello, this is James Brown, the Godfather of Soul. I feel good. You're checking out my man, Mike Siegel. Hit it, buddy. Hit it, buddy. Hit it, buddy.
Folks, back we are. Big hour coming up, and we're going to learn a lot this hour about what I think most people would agree is the most volatile hotspot on the planet, and that generically is the Middle East. Matt Brodsky's been here before. He is a foreign policy journalist. He is expert on these areas, and we've got a lot to cover on this program about the Middle East, and I would like to have him back. Mr. Brodsky, how are you? Good to talk to you.
Good. Great to be with you again. How's it going?
Very well. Let me start with Turkey. I want to go back a little bit because I'd like for you to describe the way Erdogan has become more and more of a dictator over recent years. And by that I mean putting tens of thousands behind bars, killing people, making the country far more Islamic and jihadist, perhaps, than it was previously. A lot of people revolting against that. There was the revolt, didn't work. And his much more polarized views about Israel than there was previously in that country. Describe the last several years getting us to this point so we understand how severe this country is, because we think of Turkey as a member of NATO and this great partner of ours, when in fact, it's beginning to look more like Iran than it is England.
Yes, very true. It's a good point. See, Turkey, kind of another example I would use is like Russia with Vladimir Putin, though obviously from the Turkey example is the support of Muslim Brotherhood, which is their brand of Islam that they're promoting, as opposed to Iran, which of course is promoting Shia Islam. But what he has in common with Putin is it is a long-term plan that we are over a decade into them going forward with. And what we're seeing is that since the early 2000s, since Erdogan was first in power there and then became president, he's been able to grab more and more power for himself and to centralize everything more, which is really driving Turkey back generations ago when the Ottoman Empire broke up in the 1920s, essentially, or earlier, at the end of World War One. You had Ataturk, was the biggest reforming Muslim voice that really decided we're going to use women and we're going to have them participate equally, and that there's no way to actually modernize our society if we're leaving half of the population behind. And that was a novel idea at that point. And Turkey had become a strong ally for the United States and was a bulwark against Soviet expansion and a bulwark against Iran. But as you say, not so lately. In the past decade or so, the anti-Israel rhetoric, and not just rhetoric, but their deeds itself, sponsoring flotillas to break through the Gaza blockade, they've done this, which are basically terrorists, essentially, that are coming in to try to get into Gaza with banned materials, to promoting the Muslim Brotherhood throughout the region, to teaming up with Qatar when the United States and our Gulf allies recently had them isolated, to supporting the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt against the current leadership. So they're basically on the wrong side of most issues that the United States sees. And, of course, that includes today issues with Syria and has and this Pastor Brunson episode fits into a wider problem that we've seen from Erdogan, the president, in which Turkey has now become the leading country when it comes to locking up journalists and taking away press freedoms. And that is the unfortunate path we're on.
Let me ask you, before we get to Pastor Brunson, we'll get to that, but the point about Syria, Turkey was always used by Europeans when ISIS was saying, come on down, you know, join us in Raqqa. And you'd see these young ladies from Great Britain and other people going through Turkey into Syria as if it was okay. I mean, the Turks have a problem with the Kurds, but they didn't seem to do much, at least from my observation, about ISIS and those problems. Or did they?
You're absolutely right. You're right. Not only that, what they did was they traded oil. They would buy ISIS oil, which the oil fields where the U.S. currently is with the Syrian Democratic Forces or the Kurds in northeast Syria, that was the mainstay of the ISIS, quote, caliphate economy. This was to sell this oil, and Turkey was the main conduit for that. They didn't really prevent anything. Their position in the beginning of the Syrian protest movement in 2011, they were on the side that said that Assad had to go. So they had no love for the Assad regime, but they did not team up with the United States when the United States and European countries are trying to put together a plan. Of course, it has to be said that at that time, under the Obama administration, there wasn't any plan the U.S. was putting forward initially that made any sense that would have done anything to really solve the Syrian situation. So there wasn't much for Turkey to sign on to, but they didn't need to be purchasing ISIS oil and becoming the mainstay of how Westerners would get into Syria. It's basically the role that Syria played for Iraq in the previous decade. Syria was the main transit point for jihadists who wanted to go kill Americans in Iraq. Well, so now in this decade, Turkey has become the main transit point for jihadists wishing to come from the West and into Syria and wage their jihad. So they certainly have been on many sides of issues, but absolutely not helpful.
All right, and then, of course, we've seen the basically a tyrannical dictatorship there. The reason I want to focus on that point for this segment is because we need to understand that Turkey is moving toward, and I realize it's a Muslim Brotherhood approach versus the Shia approach in Iran, but it's the same kind of result for the citizenry, a terrorist government in effect, isn't it?
Well, it's certainly becoming Islamist in tilt, and it's bringing the country back decades.
And a lot of people fear that. I mean, a lot of Turkish citizens fear it, and unlike Egypt, where the people got out in the street and the military bowed to their wishes and overthrew Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood candidate, and they brought in el-Sisi, in Turkey, it didn't work that way. Was it because Erdogan had such a tight control over the country? Why did that happen?
Well, there are several viewpoints on this one, and it depends on what you want to read. But you can find either there's the mainstream viewpoint, which is there was a military. The military did try to overthrow Erdogan, and it failed because Erdogan had basically enough loyalty to ensure his success. But the other viewpoint is that this was something that he was behind. I don't necessarily subscribe to it, but the fact is, when you look at what he has been able to do as a result of the coup attempt a few years ago to restrict freedoms right now, is nothing short of breathtaking. In other words, it's hard to see how we could have so quickly been able to constrict more freedoms in Turkey without having such a coup attempt there to blame for this.
Gotcha. That's an interesting point, that maybe he caused it in order to get tighter control. We'll come right back and pick it up. Yeah. Matt Brodsky is with us, foreign policy specialist. And I want to get into when they had the protests here outside the Turkish embassy and the Turkish thugs start beating up Americans, which caused problems, of course. And then the Pastor Brunson with Turkey. Then we'll get to Iran as well. Stay with us.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
The Texas Rangers. That name is an inspiration and the recognition of the most respected law enforcement agency in America. Its history and tradition are impeccable and set the platinum standard for honesty, integrity, quality, and competence. Now you can have those same standards in honoring the Rangers by adding clothing items to your wardrobe that are of the highest quality and do honor to the Texas Rangers. Schaefer Outfitters has a full line of Western attire that will be your one-stop shopping location for Western goods. From shirts to pants to jackets, hats, gloves, vests, and other items, you're going to find those items you've been searching for elsewhere. Like me, you no doubt have been disappointed in looking for the best in Western wear. That search, folks, is over. Do what I did. Order toll-free by phone 800-426-2074, 800-426-2074. Order online at AmericanRanchWear.com. You're going to be glad you did.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Good to have you with us as we move right along. Matt Brodsky is here. Mike Siegel with you. And Mr. Brodsky is a foreign policy journalist specializing in the Middle East. And Matt, let me go back to one incident. I'm trying to get to the undercurrent of our of U.S.-Turkey relations. And we remember back to a time when the president of Turkey, Erdogan, was here, and we had protests by Turkish dissidents in this country against his basically dictatorship. or attempted dictatorship, and some of his own, presumably bodyguards, Secret Service, whatever, in suits were out there basically physically going after those dissidents. Now, as you know, if you're peaceful, we don't do that in this country. Yet they did that. How much, I realize it's only one event. Maybe it wasn't much of anything. I thought it was a big deal. How much of an event was that in terms of relations between the United States and Turkey and polarizing the way we look at freedom?
I think it's very emblematic of the relationship and of how Erdogan conducts himself within Turkey, because this is the kind of behavior you would see in Turkey if you're a journalist, say, and you don't agree, and you're going to publish articles that are against his position in the presidency. So he did in Washington D.C. Basically the same thing you would do in Turkey. Now, as far as incidents go, or blips on the radar, as far as our relationship, it's not as big as some of the larger issues that have to do with the Middle East and the NATO alliance. But it is a much bigger issue than I think it received, or than the attention it received. Because in the United States, I think most Americans really saw that and said, "Wait, who this is an ally? Who could possibly do that?" And what was even more disgusting about the incident, I should say, is that Erdogan himself was actually in the back of his limo, parked, watching this. You know, this wasn't like a bunch of his security goons just went out and started literally kicking and punching people, and he could say, "Oh, I had no idea they were doing it." He was there. He was watching it happen. So this was, a horrible display of what was supposed to be friendship. Now, of course, to fast forward a few months, the charges against any of these Turkish individuals were dropped by the U.S. government. So no one was actually going to be held responsible for it, which I think is unfortunate. But it goes to show exactly what kind of regard he holds for the institutions of freedom and of democracy and of the right to gather and free speech, etc.
Well, you know, the thing that you just said was my next question, which is that you answered the question. He knew. My other side of that question is, do you think he ordered them to do that?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know whether he in fact ordered it. It wouldn't surprise me, because I think he behaves like a thug. That's what he does. It's hard to believe that someone who has been around as long as him, that he wouldn't know how that would be taken in the United States. So it's hard to imagine it just being something that he would do that he had a momentary lapse of judgment and said, go do that, as if a few posters are really annoying him that badly. But it certainly was something he was aware of. It went on for a number of minutes before D.C. police who were gathered there were able to actually get the situation under control. So at no point was he trying to call that off from what we've seen.
Was there any diplomatic immunity there?
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, I live in Washington, D.C., so in my building, a substantial portion of the people that live here are diplomats and diplomatic immunity. You can do all sorts of things, and you can't be held responsible. So if they're security guards, then they tend to have diplomatic immunity, which makes it harder to prosecute. But also, it may have been, it could have been a thinking on the Trump administration's part that of all the various issues that we are having problems with Turkey on, this may not be the one we want to elevate to the extent that we are doing now with current issues.
No, I agree with you. It's just in the backdrop, another annoyance showing that Turkey is not France or England or Germany, where these kinds of protests are not only tolerated, they're protected. But let me ask you about, we'll start on Pastor Brunson before the break. That's another one. In my view, it's an individual incident, as was the case with these thugs of Erdogan in Washington, D.C., going after the protesters. But now you have a pastor being held in a halfway house, I guess, or under in an apartment out of the prison, but he's still being held. What's the benefit to Erdogan to do this with a guy who's there as a pastor?
Right. So, I mean, he's been in Turkey as a pastor for the Reconstruction Church for 23 years before his arrest. His arrest comes as a part of that basket of what Erdogan was able to do in the wake of the coup attempt. So he was rounded up with all of these other people. And what Erdogan has learned is he can try to be like Iran, where you take hostages and then you try to negotiate with it, which he did. And the Trump administration actually had a negotiation with him about this about a month ago. And they had Israel release a Turkish national who they had arrested at their airport because they were supporting, materially supporting Hamas, the terrorist group that runs Gaza. Israel released them at the U.S. request, and Turkey, Erdogan backtracked on that. So it turns out that the latest is we learned that the Trump administration gave Turkey until last Wednesday to release the pastor. And obviously we know that didn't happen. So the latest breaking news tonight is that we found out that today the Turkish ambassador to the U.S. requested a meeting with John Bolton, our national security advisor, to discuss this. And Bolton made clear that there is no U.S. negotiation position going forward. It's quite simply, you need to release him. That's it. You know, they squeezed all the juice from the fruit that there can be. That's it. They need to release the pastor, and that's what the U.S. expects.
So that's interesting, because I'm sure that if it were Barack Obama, there would have been some fuzziness, and they would have tried to negotiate something. In this case, to its credit, the Trump administration is taking a hard line that there's no reason to keep this guy. You're wrong. Period. Case closed. Correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Trump administration engaged in the negotiation before. Turkey did not hold up its end of the deal. And that's it. There's nothing further that the U.S. is going to give. If Turkey thinks it's going to drag this out and get more from the United States, I think he's sorely mistaken. Erdogan is playing this with a pair of twos. He's not holding a full house here.
We'll come right back and pick it up there, wrap it up on Turkey and get to Iran, and also the Middle East peace proposal from Jared Kushner. Stay with us.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The Texas Rangers. That name is an inspiration and the recognition of the most respected law enforcement agency in America. Its history and tradition are impeccable and set the platinum standard for honesty, integrity, quality, and competence. Now you can have those same standards in honoring the Rangers by adding clothing items to your wardrobe that are of the highest quality and do honor to the Texas Rangers. Schaefer Outfitters has a full line of Western attire that will be your one-stop shopping location for Western goods. From shirts to pants to jackets, hats, gloves, vests, and other items, you're going to find those items you've been searching for elsewhere. Like me, you no doubt have been disappointed in looking for the best in Western wear. That search, folks, is over. Do what I did. Order toll-free by phone 800-426-2074, 800-426-2074. Order online at AmericanRanchWear.com. You're going to be glad you did.
For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent. President Trump returns to the campaign trail ahead of high-stakes midterm elections. At a fundraiser for Republican Congresswoman Claudia Tenney in upstate New York Monday evening, the president citing economic gains. He also talked about the fight over gun laws and Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Cuomo wants to take away your Second Amendment. Now, he called me and he said, I'll never run for president against you, but maybe he wants to. Oh, please do it. Please.
While in New York, the president also signed the Defense Authorization Act.
With this new authorization, we will increase the size and strength
of our military by adding thousands of new recruits to active duty, reserve, and National Guard units, including 4,000 new active duty soldiers.
Trump made no mention of Senator John McCain, whom the bill was named after. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from Resort Release, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get rid of their expensive timeshares. Once you've made that decision to get rid of your timeshare for any reason, Resort Release is offering a Better Business Bureau accredited way to legally get rid of your timeshare guaranteed. We guarantee to get rid of your timeshare payments permanently. Even if you've tried another company to get rid of your expensive timeshare, call now and see if we can help you. At Resort Release, you don't pay anything until you're ready. If you're ready to learn how to permanently get rid of your costly timeshare, make this complimentary free call right now.
800-455-7967. 800-455-7967. 800-455-7967. That's 800-455-7967.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
If you're young and healthy, you don't need life insurance, right? Yeah, that's what I used to think, too, until my brother died at 38. Joe left his wife with two kids, a mortgage, and a stack of bills she couldn't pay. Mary had to sell the house and move everybody into this tiny two-bedroom apartment just to make ends meet. I never want to do that to my wife, so I got life insurance. I called AIG Direct and was really surprised how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. Listen, if you have a family, you should seriously think about getting life insurance. You'll feel a lot better having it. Trust me.
Call AIG Direct for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-910-7981. That's 1-800-910-7981. 1-800-910-7981.
We're back at it. Mike Siegelin, Matt Brodsky is our guest. Glad to have him with us. Does foreign policy investigation and research, and Middle East is especially. By the way, Matt, do you travel to Turkey? Are you apprehensive about your safety if you do travel there for research?
I am now. The last time I was there was in 2004, and people would. It was a different time then. It was lovely to visit Istanbul. As a student of Middle East history, it's a fantastic archaeological place, huge historical, lots of sites to see. But even then, you could tell when people would ask you if you're American or if you're Canadian or what it was according to your accent, and you could sense then that they were not too thrilled with the United States. Now, this was a year or so after the Iraq war began, but, you know, still, I would be very, first of all, I wouldn't want to give them my money at this point. I don't think the government deserves it. But yeah, I think there's reasons to be, you know, wary about traveling there. I certainly wouldn't want my connection going through Istanbul these days.
So you would avoid it. Now let me turn to one other question about Turkey. We have two air bases there. Because of the tension in the relationship between Turkey and the United States, those air bases are part of NATO. Do we have any jeopardy in terms of our own military geography with respect to Turkey, and could he say, get out of my country?
Yeah, he's essentially last week, it was either Erdogan or one of his ministers raised the specter of trying to arrest American servicemen at the base, which is not something that would frankly happen. I mean, that's the surest way to actually break something into a hot conflict. And as we've seen in Syria, even when the United States decides that it's only going to do things, quote, for defensive purposes, its military is quite adequately prepared to thoroughly destroy enemies. I'm not suggesting this is what's going to happen in Turkey, but yes, Turkey has been trying to use as leverage the base that we have there. And that was a base also that we have our nuclear weapons at specifically. So this is something that that the United States has to be taking seriously. And by taking seriously, I mean that we can't keep kicking the can down the road when it comes to policy about Turkey. It's time to actually reevaluate the entire relationship. It's time for Congress and the president to get together on that and then to come up with other places that we're going to base our troops. Turkey should not be able to behave as it behaves while still having our base there.
I know you said that they would not, obviously, never arrest our guys on the base, but might they close the base? And if that's a possibility, should we be looking elsewhere in that region?
Yes, I think. Well, our main assets in the region right now, if you're talking for air power, we certainly have the base in Qatar, Al Udeid Air Base, which has the longest runway that we have in the region, and that's where we really run up most of our. Our operations that have been in Syria and Iraq against ISIS from. For naval, we have the UAE. We have a lot of other bases, but yeah, if Turkey wants to get cute and talk about getting rid of our base there, which we, again, should be looking at doing, then the U.S. response would be, okay, well, we can create it right next door with in Kurdish territory, in Syria, which opens up a new can of worms for what we're doing in Syria, but sends a definitive message to Turkey that we're not only willing to make temporary alliances with your enemies, but we're willing to cement that alliance.
And obviously, Assad wouldn't do anything about that, so we'd be in pretty good shape. I mean, he'd leave us alone.
He certainly would like to get us out of Syria, just like Russia and Iran would, because they want the international spigots of funding to pour in so they can abuse the funding and, you know, rebuild only their own territory as opposed to taking care of the refugees and the millions of people who have been displaced. But, yeah, it would certainly there's nothing they could really do that would affect the U.S. position once we decided that that's what we wanted to do.
Now, Iran shot off a missile. We, of course, got out of the deal. Europe is still there, but businesses in Europe are really moving toward the United States. Reports I've seen indicate many corporations, when they have a choice between the meager economy of Iran and the huge economy of the United States, they're making business decisions. What's your sense of the, is that correct? And why did they shoot off that missile? And should we expect more of that?
Well, yes, they've always maintained that ballistic missile testing is not a part of the agreement, whether they're in the agreement or not, whatever. From their perspective, that's just not covered. And to be frank about it, the really poorly worded UN resolution that deals with that. That came in addition to the actual JCPOA, which is the Iran deal about their nukes, it really isn't clear 100% ironclad about that point. So this is provocative behavior that we've grown to expect from them. They've done this far less frequently than they've done under the Obama administration. But I think every so often it's good to pause and look back at where we were and what everyone in the United States was told by their basically irresponsible media during the Obama administration. Because remember, they were saying, the New York Times and everyone was telling the American people, along with the Obama administration, that the United States would be completely isolated if we pulled out of the deal, that if we tried to reimpose sanctions, those sanctions would never work, that that European countries wouldn't go along with it. And now we can look at reality and see that everything that they were saying back then has turned out not to be true, whether you want to say that the media was, the mainstream media was frankly just in cahoots with Obama, or if they were just too dumb to know the difference. Reality, as some of us have long maintained, is how it's turning out to be right now, which is to say Europe knows it can't it can't stay in business with Iran. We may have difficulty with China and with Russia, but that was to be expected either way. But the idea that the U.S. would be very isolated as a result and that Europe wouldn't go along with it all turned out to be just hogwash that that the Obama administration was spinning.
All right, but fair enough. But at what point can we break the Ayatollah's control of Iran and the religious dictatorship in order to create what many want? You and I met in Paris at the Free Iran 2018 conference and rally. There were 100,000 people there. And there was they do it every year, and there's a very strong movement that wants to overthrow this government. It would almost be seamless to move a government in place, and the new government would propose democratic principles. How close is this government that's there now to falling apart and allowing a new government to take over?
Well, the one thing you could say in history is that almost no one predicts when a revolution actually hits. Another thing we can say from history is that sanctions alone, I'm not aware of any example where sanctions have actually forced a country or a government to thoroughly capitulate and be overthrown. Even with Saddam Hussein, we had very stringent sanctions against him in Iraq, and he was able to still find a way to survive. Of course, there was the abuse of the oil for food program back then. We don't have to get into all that history, but the point I'm making is that it's difficult to see how sanctions alone would be able to accomplish that. Something more needs to be done, and that has to be led from within Iran.
Gotcha. We'll come right back and pick it up there. We'll get a little bit more in Iran and then go to peace proposals in the Middle East. And Jared Kushner and his crowd is working on a plan. We'll get to that and much more. Mike Siegel in. Matt Brodsky is with us. He is a Middle East foreign policy journalist, does a great job, and really knows that history of that area very well. And we'll come right back and take more conversations. Stay with us.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We all know dental care is essential to good health. That's why I've made sure to have implant procedures done by my dentist when a tooth needs replacement. By having an implant procedure, I avoid bone loss, and you can too. Mike Siegel here, and I can assure you that having an implant can be achieved with the best professional dental care at the most affordable price. It will not cost you $6,000 as some dentists charge. Now you can get the same quality care I received for just $1,995. You heard me right, just $1,995. The fee includes the implant, abutment, and crown. I am thrilled with the quality of my implants, and you will be too, since they perform and look just like natural, healthy teeth. Visit 1995dentalimplants.com, 1995dentalimplants.com. Arrange a free, no-obligation consultation. It's now affordable to get world-class care for an affordable cost. 1995dentalimplants.com.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of blindness in people over 55, but with treatment it can be slowed down, stopped, and in some cases reversed. Make sure you see your grandchildren grow. Protect your vision by requesting information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD, or go to the website fightblindness.org, where I found so much helpful information, or again, call 1-800-BLINDNESS today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
We get right back to it. Mike Siegelin, good to have you with us. Matt Brodsky is here. Matt, let's get to what is needed internally in Iran and wrap it up on Iran. Because there was a 2009 so-called Green Revolution. Now there are something like 142 cities that are almost having daily protests. They were even publicly saying, kill the Ayatollah, Khamenei. Those are things you would never have heard way back when. So the bottom line to me is, what do we do in terms of any support we give to the revolution that's taking place now? Is it strictly just encouragement, or do we do anything?
I think there's encouragement we can give, but I think there's also ways to improve their ability to communicate. There are things in that regard that we can do. The sanctions, I think, will have a really large effect in that the revolutionary system that they have there since 1979 is essentially, it's run out of steam, and the people have already heard all of these excuses before, so they know where the money is being spent. They know, you know, instead of seeing a sign of strength with the government launching a ballistic missile, it sees a giant waste of money because no one would be trying to have any difficulty with Iran if it wasn't trying to take over and wage war in the neighborhood. So I think the sanctions will have a major impact, and that it's actually not going to be able to get people they're galvanized behind the regime, but just remind them of why it is that these sanctions are in place, which is because the regime is there. So I think there's, aside from encouragement, it really has to do with promoting what they're trying to get across with communications. But I think with revolutions, they need to be carried out by the people, so that it can't be branded as something that was cookie cutter from the West and put in place there. But luckily for Iran, they've had three revolutions over the course of 100 years, which is more than I think most places can say. And I'm talking popular revolutions where it's the people, not a military coup. So no population or civilization is more capable of bringing about change in their circumstances, I think, more so than the Iranian people. And hopefully they can take their future into their hand, because I'm sure that a lot of the West is very much hoping that something like that would occur, and we can help that once that begins to occur.
Let me turn to the Israeli-Palestinian dilemma. And it is more than a dilemma because, look, Hamas, people don't talk about this, but Hamas has in its charter, as does Hezbollah, the destruction of the state of Israel, period, case closed. There can be no state of Israel. They've never taken that out of their charters. So any temporary peace, any temporary arms set aside, that we have a temporary holding back of hostility, it means nothing. And it's going to mean nothing as long as Hamas and Hezbollah believe Israel must be destroyed. First, let me ask you whether, because we haven't seen any movement toward peace, Israel has gone, they gave back the Gaza to Hamas, and what did they get for their trouble? Gaza is now used as a staging area for firing rockets into southern Israel. Sederot and other areas get attacked. It used to be they were in Lebanon when Yasser Arafat was there, and I was there one time in an area in northern Israel, in a kibbutz, where we were getting attacked by Katyusha rockets. So they go north or south, wherever it may be, but there's never an intent to have peace with an existing state of Israel. First of all, would you agree with that? And if you do, then isn't it hopeless to talk about a peace plan that would work?
Yeah, I agree with both of your points. I was living in Israel when the Kadima party, the centrist party, last decade was formed, and that was under Ariel Sharon, who carried out the disengagement. And there was a lot of protests about whether Israel should do such a thing, because at that point, we're talking 2005, this is when the idea was that Israel could just pull out and separate itself from the Palestinians, that they could create governance for themselves, and then maybe that would be the way to jumpstart the peace process at some future date after Arafat turned to launching an intifada or a war of attrition in 2000. The center has been decimated in Israel by Palestinian actions, by what has happened since Hamas took over the Gaza Strip. And Hamas took it over, incidentally, from Fatah, the so-called moderates who are now currently in charge of the West Bank, or who basically run the Palestinian Authority. They took it over from a coup after Israel withdrew within a year or so. We're talking 2006-07 around then. The left in Israel was destroyed by Yasser Arafat. People no longer believe the idea of the peace process. And then the idea of separation that the center created a few years later has been destroyed again by Palestinians. And now we've seen that they've launched rockets in 2014. They were able to close down Ben-Gurion Airport, the main airport near Tel Aviv, which was basically the death knell, as far as I can see, for the two-state solution, because without Israeli security there, you're going to have the constant launching of rockets. And Hamas has been doing this even more last week than they had since 2014, over 200 rockets over the course of 48 hours launched at Israel. And like you said, these temporary ceasefires are fairly meaningless. Egypt has tried to work out several of them, and they've only held for a week or so. The one thing you can know when it comes to the U.S. trying to put out any type of peace proposal is that anytime the U.S. publicly states that it's going to do that, it will be hijacked by the lowest common denominator, and the lowest common denominator are the terrorists. That's Hamas.
Yep. Let me ask you, we only have a couple minutes left, maybe three, about the Kushner and his and the ambassador to Israel and others working on the idea that we get the, ironically, because of Iran, we have good, Israel has good relations with some of the Arab countries. The idea being getting them together, Egypt, Jordan, maybe United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, and putting together a peace plan, forcing the Palestinians into a peace because the rest of the Arab world says so. What about that?
Yeah, I know this is along the lines that is being very strongly considered, even though the latest is that such the deal or the formation of the deal or the public release of it wouldn't happen until next year at this point. But I remain skeptical about it. First of all, I don't think the Gulf states or Saudi Arabia, I don't think that they're going to lead an effort to pump in all kinds of money to the Palestinian Authority, who is thoroughly corrupt. And I don't think that they're really going to try to create, jobs to make everyday life better for Palestinians, which I think is a bit wishful thinking on the United States' part. The idea basically is that, we'd give Palestinians more hope so that then it would change their minds toward peace. Well, you're not going to change Hamas' mind toward that. In fact, they're launching rockets right now because they don't want any of this type of peace deal to go in, because it undermines their authority. Any money that reaches the Palestinian areas is going to be abused by the people who are ruling them. So I don't know how that's going to work out. I can understand why someone would think, hey, we haven't tried this yet, so maybe we should try it. But I'm just very pessimistic about the prospects for peace when it's led by people who, through either military action or through diplomatic action, simply want to destroy the state of Israel one way or another.
I suppose the one hope would be that if those other Arab countries gang up against the Palestinians and wanting the peace plan, that the Palestinians will be so marginalized from any other nations that traditionally supported them, that maybe they'd rethink it, and maybe the people would say to Hamas, get lost, we're going to go to a different direction. Who knows? Maybe, maybe not.
There's two schools of thought on that one. Either yes, give them hope, and then it works for them, and it changes their mindset. Or the other thought is they simply haven't felt that they've lost yet to the extent where they have to actually make peace and give up the struggle. It's one or the other.
You got a good point there. And they have to perceive they're on the verge of collapsing, I suppose, before they cut a deal. Hey, Matt, great to talk to you. We'll talk again soon. Thanks for being with us on the program tonight.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us. Mike Siegel, thanks for listening.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at HBExtract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's HBExtract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at HBExtract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This is Jessica Armand, founder of My Magic Mud. Our team helped organize a successful effort to remove fluoride from our city's water supply. This is our passion. My Magic Mud Oral Care purifies and brightens your smile naturally. GCN listeners, please support my family business by purchasing our products from your local health food store. We're also available at CVS Pharmacy. Or visit us at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off now with coupon code GCN10.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.